put another way, the airborne commanders expected that casualties in the next action would be highest among the junior officer ranks. Welsh was by now the oldest serving officer in the company, and he had not been at Tekoa. Only Welsh and Compton had been in Normandy with Easy. Welsh, Compton, Dyke, Shames, and Foley had spent some time in Holland. It was the NCOs who were providing continuity and holding the company together. Among the NCOs who had started out at Tekoa as privates were Lipton, Talbert, Martin, Lutz, Perconte, Muck, Christensen, Randleman, Rader, Gordon, Toya, Guarnieri, Carson, Boyle, Guth, Taylor, Malarkey, and others. That so many of its Tekoa officers were on the 506th Regimental or 2nd Battalion staff helped Easy to maintain coherence. They included Major Hester and Captain Matheson, S3 and S4 on regimental staff, and Captains Winters and Nixon, XO and S2 on battalion staff. Overall, however, after one half year of combat, Easy had new officers and new privates. But its heart, the NCO Corps, was still made up of Tekoa men who had followed Captain Sobel up and down Currahee in those hot August days of 1942. Many of the men they had run up Currahee with were in hospital in England. Some of them would never run again. Others, with flesh wounds, were on the way to recovery. In the American 110th General Hospital outside Oxford, three members of 1st Platoon Easy Company were in the same ward. Webster, Liebgott, and Corporal Thomas McCreary had all been wounded on October 5th. Webster in the leg, Liebgott in the elbow, McCreary in the neck. Webster was practicing his writing. In his diary, he described his buddies. 120-pound Liebgott, ex-San Francisco cabbie, was the skinniest and, at non-financial moments, one of the funniest men in E Company. He had the added distinction of being one of the few Jews in the paratroops. In addition, both he and McCreary, ancient men of 30, were the company elders. McCreary was a light-hearted, good-natured little guy who, to hear him tell it, had been raised on a beer bottle and educated in the Motor Inn, Pittsburgh. According to Webster, the gayest spot in the 110th was the amputation ward, where most of the lads, knowing that the war was over for them, laughed and joked and talked about home. Webster was right to say most rather than all, as some of those with million-dollar wounds wouldn't have given a nickel for them. Leo Boyle, in another ward of the 110th, wrote Winters, "Dear Sir,